The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Character is not made in crisis, it's revealed.
Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie explains a close walk with God won't help us get around tragedy, but it will help us get through.
Listen, tragedy will come in life, and it's going to have one of two effects. We're either going to have our faith strengthened and we'll turn to God for comfort, or we'll become angry at God and turn away from Him. It's your choice. Hardships in life will either make you better or bitter. You decide which.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Scientists have discovered that in the microseconds before a lightning strike, often a small finger of electrical energy will reach up from the ground. And as soon as it does, the lightning transfers all that energy from the heavens to the earth. Today on The New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie encourages us in our times of suffering to reach up and allow the power of God's grace to transfer down from the heavenlies and carry us through trial or tragedy. It's a message called, Why Does God Allow Suffering?
Why does God allow bad things to happen to godly people? To godly people. We can accept the idea of suffering in general, especially when it happens as a consequence of bad behavior. But when bad things happen to good people, we don't get it. And I can think of no better illustration of this than the story of Job. I mean, Job was an amazing man. A godly man of integrity, so much so that the Lord Himself bragged on him in heaven. But Job faced some of the worst calamities that we have ever heard of. I don't know that I've ever heard a sadder story than the story of Job. In a moment, we'll read that Job lived in a place called Uz, and so we might think of him as a fictional character. Uz, is that near Oz? Did Job know Dorothy, perhaps, and Toto? No, Job was a real man that lived in a real place and experienced real pain and turned to a real God and found real answers. The same God that will help you in your hour of need. It is believed by many that Job is the oldest book in all of the Bible. So let's read a little bit of his story. Job chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. And by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. There was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and he employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Every year when Job's sons had birthdays, they invited their brothers and sisters and joined them for a celebration. And when these celebrations ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each one of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." That was Job's regular practice. 4 quick things jump out about Job that I think are worth noting. Number one, Job was a man of integrity. He was a man of character. He practiced what he preached. And indeed, character counts. In fact, it may be the most important thing in a person's life. Not just what you say, but what you really are. The real you is what you are in private. When there's no one to impress, when you're not aware that anyone is watching, that's you, okay? D.L. Moody said, character is what you are in the dark. Job was a man of supreme character. Number two, Job was a wealthy man, the wealthiest man in all of his region. And yet the wealth did not go to his head. He seemed to keep it all in perspective, and wealth has turned many a head and heart away from God. In fact, we're warned in Psalm 62:10, if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Here's the funny thing about wealth and affluence. You may have a lot of it and not necessarily have your head turned by it, and you may have very little of it and be obsessed with it. We often think that people who are wealthy are materialistic and people who are not wealthy aren't, but sometimes the most materialistic people around are the ones that want to be rich. Sometimes it is said, you know, the Bible teaches money is the root of all evil. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I've never read that verse. The Bible teaches the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, it's not just those that have it, though it could include them, obviously. It can be those that don't have it, but are obsessed with it. The point is, Job had it, and it did not control his life. He was a man of integrity. He was a wealthy man. Number three, he was a family man. He raised his children in the way of the Lord. He clearly loved them. Sounds like he was concerned about them. And also, and finally, Job was a prayerful man. Verse 5 tells us he would offer a burnt offering for his children. That was an Old Testament way of saying he prayed for them, not sporadically, but regularly. And let me ask you, do you pray for your children? Do you set a godly example for them to follow? You know, sometimes when we're having trouble in the home or trouble with our children, the reason is because we have trouble in our hearts. But Job, he had it together. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of faith, a man who loved his family. God was so proud of Job, he was bragging on him in heaven. That brings us to our next verses. Look at verse 6. Of Job 1. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan the accuser came with him. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, I've been going back and forth across the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all of the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil. Satan replied to the Lord, oh yes, Job fears God, but not without good reason. You've always protected him and his home and his property from harm. You've made him prosperous in everything he does. Look how rich he is. Take away everything he has. He'll surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Wow, talk about having friends in high places. God's bragging on his boy, Job. But know this, when God is your friend, the devil will be your enemy. But then again, if the devil is your friend, God will be your enemy. So I guess you ought to choose who you want your friends and enemies to be. But the very fact that Job was a friend of God and that the Lord was bragging on him caused the devil to want to wreak havoc in his life. Now we find the devil playing out his wicked agenda. We're in chapter 1 still. Look at verse 13. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were dining at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans raided us and they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with the news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and your daughters were feasting in their older brother's home, and suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and hit the house from all sides. The house collapsed, and all of your children are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Job stood up. He tore his robe in grief. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground before God. And he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I'll be stripped of everything when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We sang it, he gives and takes away, he gives and takes away. And one day, Job was completely bankrupt. Everything he had acquired through his lifetime was gone in a moment, but worst of all, his children were taken as well. 7 sons and 3 daughters gone just like that. For a parent to lose a child is a fate worse than death. When David's son Absalom died, even though he was a wicked boy, David wept uncontrollably and said, "I wish it had been me instead of him." And any parent would say the same thing and gladly trade places with their child. Job took it all in, but I want you to notice what else he did. He worshiped the Lord. Listen, tragedy will come in life, and it's going to have one of two effects. We're either going to have our faith strengthened and we'll turn to God for comfort, or we'll become angry at God and turn away from him. It's your choice. Hardships in life will either make you better or bitter. You decide which. Because character is not made in crisis, it's revealed. Think about that. It's not made in crisis, it's revealed. It's when the crisis hits and the veil is torn away that we see what that man or that woman really was. In the case of Job, we see him being exactly what God said he was, a man of faith, a man of character, a man of prayer, a man in need. You know, sometimes people will say, "Oh, you have so much faith, the way that you trust God through your hardship." Faith, yeah, you can call it that. I call it common sense. Where else are you going to turn? To the bottle? To drugs? To illicit pleasures? No, thank you. I'm going to turn to the one who actually can support me at a time like this, the one who promised to give me what I need. It's like when Peter was talking with the Lord, and a lot of people turned away from following Jesus. And the Lord said, "Okay, are you guys going to leave too?" Peter said, "Hey, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Allow me to loosely paraphrase that. "Lord, we don't always get you. We don't always understand why you do what you do and why you say what you say. But this much we know, you're the one, and we're going to keep following you. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And this is one of the good things that can come out of crisis and suffering. You turn to God with a dependence like you've never had before. Like a child running to their mom or dad, burying their face in their shoulder, and the parent comforts them. In the same way, we turn to God and God gives us the comfort that we need. Not necessarily with the answers, but he is always there. You see, faith is not going to grow through ease and conflict. It's going to grow through challenge and difficulty. Some people will say, "Well, you know, this shook my faith. This tragedy shook my faith." Maybe you didn't have real faith then. Randy Alcorn made this statement in his book, "If God Is Good, Why?" "The faith that can't be shaken is a faith that has been shaken." See, when your faith has been shaken and it is revealed to be real faith, that will see you through in your times of difficulty. Job worshiped the Lord and said, "Naked came I from this world, naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We pointed out earlier that God is good. God is good because he says he's good. And by the way, that's why we should worship the Lord. Because if you only worship the Lord when you feel like it, you're not going to worship very often, because it's always something, right? I mean, when we come to church, for instance, and our worship team comes out, "I'm really not in a worshiping mood today." "Really, why?" "Well, I haven't had breakfast yet. I just can't really worship without some eggs in the stomach, you know? Oh, I have a cold," or, "Oh man, we're having problems with the kids," or, "I don't know, I got in a fender bender yesterday," or maybe it's something even worse than that, "I just experienced this difficulty," or, "We have a tragedy looming," or whatever it is. But listen, you should praise the Lord regardless of how you feel. The Bible does not say, "Give thanks unto the Lord when you feel good." "I feel good." No, not like that. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Worship God because he's worthy of your worship, regardless of your circumstances. That's what Job did, and that's what we need to do. God would be there for Job, and he'll be there for you. You might say, "Oh man, listen, if something like this ever happened to me, even if it was on a much smaller scale, I couldn't handle it." Here's my response to you. Yes, you could. How do you know? You don't know me. No, I don't, but I know God. And he promised he'll never give you more than you can handle. You see, he who stirred up the storm is the hiding place in it. He who created or at least allowed the storm has been in it himself. Listen to this. Whatever comes into your life has been created or allowed by God. Whatever comes into your life has either been created or allowed by God. In this case, God did not do this to Job, but he did allow the devil to. Why? I can't say. We see a lot of good things that came out of it as a result, but in all honesty, at the end of Job's book, when all of the things he lost are restored and his possessions and so forth, he didn't get his kids back. So it wasn't a tidy little ending like we would like to see in a Hollywood movie perhaps. But at the same time, God was with him through all of this, and God gave him the strength to get through all of this, and he'll be with us as well. God allows things, or he does things. But here's the deal. When you're suffering, go to someone who has suffered. I never asked to have a ministry to suffering people. Quite frankly, I didn't want a ministry to suffering people. But I have one now, more than I've ever had before. I didn't put a sign on my door that says, come to me when tragedy hits, but people are coming to me more than they've ever come to me before. And for obvious reasons, especially if it involves a child. And they're asking me for prayer. They're asking me for advice. And, you know, a lot of times it's not that I have the greatest thing to even say to them, but I do listen and I have compassion on them and I have a sense of what they're going through. I'm not as quick on the draw with the Bible verses as I once before, though I still quote verses. But, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do with someone who's hurting is just be there and weep with them. Weep with those that weep, you know, the Bible says. And so I think it helps people, they've told me this at least, to know that someone else has gone through it. But listen, there's only so much I could do for you or anyone else can do for you if you want to go to the ultimate source for your times of difficulty. You go to Jesus himself, who suffered more than Jesus. The Bible says he was well acquainted with suffering. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:17, he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, and he is able to help us when we are suffering and we are being tempted. You say, I know, Greg, that's great, but you know what? He has been with me, but I miss my loved one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I do too, but we need perspective. And I need to remind myself constantly of what is. Because all I see is miss my pain and my loss for my family. But then I try to look at it from a heavenly perspective and think of where my son is. You know, life on earth, it's like we're all waiting in a line. We're waiting in line. Do you like to wait in lines? I hate waiting in line. If there is a way to avoid a line, I will find it. If I'm in the market and I need to buy 30 items, I will still go to the 8 items or less line just to get out of there. And when I'm standing beside someone else in that line, I'm counting their items. That was more than the allotted amount. Security, you know. I don't like lines. But imagine if you were in line at Disneyland and you were way in the back of the line, standing in the blazing sun, and all of a sudden the CEO of Disney came out. I think it's Robert Iger now, and he saw you there, and you know, you look like you're having a hard time. Why don't you come on into the Magic Kingdom ahead of everybody else? And as you walk by, people are murmuring, why do they get to go first? Why do they get to go first? And he opens up the door, and you walk in, and Mickey Mouse is there to greet you, and Minnie's on the other side, and you go skipping in to Sleeping Beauty's castle. Sad thing is you're a 60-year-old man, but still. How would everybody in line feel? Lucky dog. How did he get in ahead of me? I have to sit here in the sun and wait in the line longer. That's life. And when someone's called to heaven, it's a promotion. An early death means an early crown. It's a privilege, not a punishment. When this happens, though, we say of that loved one, they're gone. They're gone. And then in one sense, that's true. But in another sense, that's not true at all. I think a better way to say it would be they're gone for now. To say they're gone implies they no longer exist. They're gone, that's the end of it. To say they're gone for now speaks of reunion. And the Bible tells us that when a person dies in the Lord, they depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And it also tells us that we will be reunited with them again. They're gone for now. For now. Meanwhile, we're standing in the sun waiting in line, waiting for the door to open. I know it's easy to say these things. It's harder to live them, but it's the truth. Heaven's better than earth, right? Way better. So look, I can't control my world. Oh, how I try. God's in control. All I can do is react. So I think we need to make a choice to react the right way and say, I don't get it. I don't know why, but I choose to glorify God. Maybe suffering has brought you here today, or at least has gotten you to listen today. Maybe something has happened. It's been like a wake-up call, a close brush with death, a phone call from the doctor, something happened to a close friend of yours, whatever it is, it's reminded you of your mortality. As the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. All I will say to you is if suffering or hardship or crisis or tragedy or any of those things have gotten your attention and have caused you to think about your relationship with God, I'm just glad you're listening now. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus Christ has the answer to what you're facing. Jesus Christ will walk with you through the hardest challenges of life and give you the guaranteed hope that when you die, you will go to heaven. Nobody else can do that for you. No other religion can do that for you. No other experience can do that for you. Only Christ can. And he lived and he died on a cross. No one suffered more than Jesus. As he bore all of our pain and all of our sin and all of our heartache and all of our suffering and then rose again from the dead 3 days later. Now he stands at the door of our lives and he knocks and says, if we'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. I'd like to close today by extending to you an opportunity to get right with God. And if you're not sure right now whether or not the Lord is living in you, if you don't know with certainty right now that you would go to heaven when you die, or if you are facing hardship in life and you just feel so all alone and you want Jesus to come into your heart and life and forgive you of your sin and walk with you through it, you respond to this prayer right now that I'll give you an opportunity to respond to. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will speak to every person listening to this message. Help, Lord, each one to see that your word is true and that you have the answers we're looking for. You are the answer we're looking for. Help those that do not yet know you to come to you now and believe in Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, closing with an important word of prayer. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with God today, Pastor Greg would like to help you do that in just a moment. So please stay with us. And now, Pastor Greg will continue on this subject next time. He's bringing us two complete messages, airing over 4 days of broadcasts here on A New Beginning. Contact us if you'd like a copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering, Parts 1 and 2. Our phone number is 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or if you'd like, just go online to harvest.org. And for even more insight and reassurance on this subject, don't forget Pastor Greg's newest inspirational film, Hope for Hurting Hearts, on DVD. Find out more about it at hope.harvest.org.
I hang my harvest calendar in my office.
Right in my office, right behind my desk.
I hung my harvest calendar on my wall right next to my computer.
I hang mine right inside my pantry, which is opened repeatedly.
I have one in my home office, and I also have one in the kitchen area.
In the kitchen. It's the central gathering place in our home.
It really is. I mean, that's where the action is in the Laurie home.
It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of fun. It's a place of many spiritual conversations. So what a great thing to have a calendar there that reinforces your faith, that reminds you of what God's Word says. And I think it's a wonderful thing in a Christian home to have passages of Scripture on display to remind you of God's Word. So this is something that you'll find aesthetically pleasing. It's great to look at, and it will reinforce your faith every time you lay your eyes on it. So order your Harvest calendar for 2014.
The theme, Proverbs 31, and the characteristics of virtuous women and men. We're thanking those who sent a donation with this new wall calendar. And Pastor Greg, what would you say to those who give so consistently?
I would just say to all of them, thank you. I feel called to preach the gospel to my generation. I feel called to teach the word of God. And I trust that you have seen that the Lord is guiding us in this way, and there's something about it that resonates with you, and you want to help us to continue. So thanks for being a part of our team, and I pray that you'll continue that support in the months and years ahead.
And if you can help on a regular basis, we hope you'll join our team of Harvest Partners. These are close friends who support this outreach monthly. The amount is up to you. Find out more about it by clicking on Become a Harvest Partner at harvest.org. Or call us and we'll explain the details. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And now, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with God, Pastor Greg would like to help you with that right now.
Listen, if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life right now, if you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like a new start in life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you would ask for God's forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you to just stop what you're doing right now and bow your head and pray this prayer with me if you want to make a commitment, a recommitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and I thank you for dying on that cross for my sin and paying the price for it and rising again from the dead. I turn from that sin now, and I make a choice to follow you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for calling me and forgiving me and receiving me and loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words sincerely, the Lord has forgiven you of your sins. And now it's time to begin your new walk with the Lord. And we want to help you with that. We'd like to send you Pastor Greg's New Believer's Growth Packet. It'll answer many of the questions you might have and get you started in living for God. So get in touch and ask for the free New Believer's Growth Packet. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Well, next time, Pastor Greg takes us further into the story of Job and the Bible's richest lesson on clinging to our hope when life turns tragic. Join us next time here on A New Beginning. You know, Pastor Greg, I was thinking the other day that you must get up awfully, awfully early in the morning, because I'm aware that you send out 104,000 devotional emails every single day. Were you aware of that?
You know, I do get up early, but no, I'm actually not the guy responsible for sending all those emails out, but they are my words, and I'm trying to send you every single day, because we offer at Harvest a daily devotional, and many people benefit from it. Well over 100,000 people receive it every day all around the world. And this is a great way to start off your day, because here you have this devotion from Scripture, and then there's a bunch of links right next to it. It's sort of like a portal into our whole world. There's a link over to our TV program. Then there's a link to my Facebook page that I often update with little Bible teachings and thoughts and such. Also a link to my Twitter page and a link to other things that we have that would be of interest to people. And then one other thing I think is very important is there's a link to our Bible reading program where you can read through the Bible with us. And we actually have the Scriptures broken out for you. So I would just encourage folks out there, sign up for our daily Devo and enter into this portal, into all the resources that Harvest Ministries offer.
Yeah, and it's easy to do, and it's free of charge. Just go to harvest.org.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.